Miracy.
We're transcending time and space. Again, this is massless. This is non-physical. I work with the spirit or consciousness or the signal on a photograph. I don't work with flesh and blood. This is a new science in which we leave the physical construct. We leave the physical barriers behind.
Hello, and welcome to Consciousness Explored. I'm your host, Melissa Deal. In this podcast, we explore the expansion of consciousness, how it shapes our behavior and transforms our lives. On today's episode, I've invited Tom Palladino. He's a holistic medical expert, scalar energy researcher, and humanitarian. Tom's work is based on his theory that all energy in the universe initiates as scalar energy. You could think of scalar energy as the fundamental life force found everywhere in the universe, like chi, prana, om, or zero-point energy, to name a few. Tom further theorizes that scalar energy is instructive energy, as the entire universe is instructed by this divine essence. In this episode, we'll talk about the emerging science of scalar energy and how it can be used for physical healing, cell regeneration, and, of course, the expansion of consciousness. I'm really looking forward to this topic, and I have a feeling we're all going to learn something new today. And we'll be right back with Tom's story.
I had an idyllic childhood. I had two great Christian parents. They raised me in a splendid fashion. I cannot thank my parents enough. I was always inquisitive. As a youngster, I was very inquisitive. And what really started me on my journey is when I started to read about the scientist Nikola Tesla. I'm sure many people realize that name now. It's become a household name. Nikola Tesla was a great inventor. And we owe the modern day to Tesla and his advances. What a great mind he was. I was enraptured with what Tesla was doing as a scientist, his ability. That really set the tone in my life. Everything that he did, I firmly believed he had supernatural help. Because if you look at his career, his prolific career, he probably invented 300, 400 different types of instruments. Just, it's beyond comprehension what one man can do. And he understood nature. He understood really the wheel work of nature, how nature operated. And to this day, after 120, 125 years, nobody can match him. Even in our modern day society, science cannot hold a candle to his work. Nobody has come close to his prowess. Nobody. Tesla had two careers, electromagnetic energy and scalar energy. That is, later in his life, he was working with what I call non-physical energy or scalar energy. I had favor for Nikola Tesla's second career, the career later in his life, in which it was non-physical energy or scalar energy, what he called radiant energy. And to be very quick about this, scalar energy is free, electricity is expensive. Scalar energy relies upon the universe to propagate. Electromagnetic energy, electricity, you need a grid system. Scalar energy is safe. Electricity can cause harm. So what's the point? Why not use scalar energy? Why are we still using electricity? I studied various subjects, anything from business to English, so I could operate in the business world and have those tools. But I also studied science so that further down the road, I could develop my theories and start working with scalar energy. So I really had a dual career. Business and science, because I had to support myself. All of my research is private. This is privately funded. It's my research, and I don't depend upon a university. One of the reasons why I don't take on outside sources of funding is I don't want to dilute the intent here. The intent is to help people. So this really is a quantum healing ministry. It has nothing to do with business. I'm not interested in making a lot of money or making a name for myself. So it's not about money or reputation. If I really love science and I really love people, I have to be pure. I have to be focused on that intent. This is not a business. This is a quantum healing ministry. We work with intelligence. It's not a biological healing.
Tom has lived his entire life in pursuit of his dream to bring free energy to all people. He worked only to support himself and fund this dream. which he did finally bring to fruition. His inventions and discoveries have led him on a never-ending journey of consciousness exploration and expansion, which he hopes to share with the whole world.
I see invention as a way of helping mankind. Every invention, if you will, allows mankind to ascend. And that's the point of my work, to better our lifestyle, to see this ascension of well-being. The point of my work as a humanitarian. Technology and morality must go hand in hand. We have some great technology that is in use today, but we have to use it within parameters, and it has to be used appropriately. And with that said, I would hope that this age of technology will be for our benefit and not our detriment. Technology is a double-edged sword. It can be used both ways. Looking back at my life, I see that everything was necessary. All of the advantages and disadvantages that I experienced, that was all a teaching lesson to me. So this has been a lifelong journey. It's a struggle in many cases, but it's well worth it. And you see, with the struggle comes advance. You can't make any advance just by sitting back. You've got to struggle. You always have to prod yourself. And that's what I've done my entire life.
Wow, Tom, your story is so laser focused. It's awe-inspiring to know from such a young age what you want to do and then stay so dedicated for so long. It's just amazing. And I can't wait to talk to you more about your work and the incredible things you're doing with it. But first, I'd like to ask you a question. How do you explain consciousness?
This is exactly what I'm doing. This is a consciousness instrument. It's non-physical information. It's the energy, the information of the cosmos. Some people call it the mind of God. Others call that consciousness, chi, prana. Some people call that zero point energy. There's two dimensions. We live in this physical dimension, this electromagnetic dimension, in which everything involves some type of mass. Consciousness dimension, or scalar energy dimension, or zero point energy is massless. There's no protons or electrons. This instrument is able to access that non-physical dimension, consciousness. And that stands to reason because scalar energy, which is consciousness, is everywhere. This is what Tesla discovered. This is what I discovered, that this instrument taps into the paradigm of the universe. We transcend time and space. We don't move from A to B. We're already there. We're already transcending all of space.
So would you say that this other dimension we're in with matter, physical particles, exists within consciousness?
I would say so. We can see these two realms, electromagnetic energy and scalar energy, they coincide, they coexist, but they are still distinct. And if electromagnetic energy has a physical being to it and experiences entropy, scalar energy or consciousness never experiences entropy. There's no way you can weaken the signal, and it's always non-physical. Consciousness is like thought or like emotion. Well, a thought is not a physical construct. There is no mass to a thought. So this is the two different paradigms, the two different dimensions that I'm mentioning now. They're both crucial to existence. And once we realize that there's two dimensions, two realities, we will make great advances.
And distinct, but not separate from.
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct.
All right. Well, let's talk about, I don't know what kind of information you can give, but as much as you can give without, you know, digging into anything proprietary, of course, can you talk about the instrumentation?
Yeah. Now, these are custom-built instruments. Initially, I learned from an inventor, an American inventor. His name was Hieronymus. And in many ways, I copied the invention of Galen Hieronymus, an incredible American inventor. And since then, I've been working with a team of engineers, and we've improved upon this instrument. Now, what's the point here? Well, if we ever look at a prototype, this is going to be one of the prototypes that's going to be referenced throughout history. A new type of, if you will, genre of invention. Why is this so important? This scalar energy instrument, again, works exclusively with consciousness, and I'm going to explain. I hold up my photograph. My photograph has a signature or consciousness is attached to it. When I place my photograph inside the instrument, the instrument is making a connection to me by way of the photographic force field. In other words, I bilocate. The instrument is so strong it can illuminate a light bulb Well, that is akin to illuminating my chakras or my brain waves. So make no distinction. When I bilocate to my laboratory by way of my photograph, it's a process of consciousness. I place my photograph inside the instrument, and my instrument is now downloading scalar energy into my force field. I'm downloading scalar energy into my chakras, into my brain waves. That is a chakra balancing. It's made possible by this paradigm in which you can be in two places at once by way of your photograph.
And your instrument, of course, is essentially harnessing that power, that energy to be used for the healing.
Yes, that's the key to my research. Now, keep in mind what I said. I bilocate, or anybody can bilocate to my laboratory by way of their photograph, whether it's one person or 100 people or a million people. Mm-hmm. So what's the point here? The point is we're transcending time and space. Again, this is massless. This is non-physical. I work with the spirit or consciousness or the signal on a photograph. I don't work with flesh and blood. This is a new science in which we leave the physical construct. We leave the physical barriers behind. There are no physical barriers. There's no physical impediment with my work. I work exclusively with consciousness.
Wow. Yeah. This might sound like pretty radical stuff to a lot of folks who've been, let's say, educated by our Western systems of education and mass media. So I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about hard data and results for our listeners. I know you have a lot of examples, but can you just briefly talk about the work you've done in Delhi, in India, your work in India, please?
Okay. So we're working with an HIV/AIDS clinic in Delhi, India. Now, we've worked with over 5,000 people by way of their photograph. And after working with these people, nobody has a viral load for HIV. The only consideration that is different is they submitted their photograph to me. That's the only demonstrable difference in their protocol for health.
That is just incredible, Tom, and so inspiring. I'm interested, though, like what part did the recipients of the healing play? Can you tell us, like, what role do the recipients of the process play in their own healing?
Let me say this. The human mind and the heart are examples of scalar energy. The mind is powered by scalar energy or consciousness. The heart, the emotions are powered by scalar energy. So what's the point? People can heal themselves. The mind and the heart can heal. Thinking and praying or thinking and feeling can heal. Now, I want to make this very familiar with people. This is not an esoteric subject. Everybody has a scalar wave of a thought. Everybody has a scalar wave of emotion. So I want to bring this down to the common denominator. Everybody has this gift of scalar energy. There's two energies. Yes, you have an electromagnetic force field, but you also have a scalar energy force field. So to make this very friendly to your audience, everybody's an expert in both electromagnetic force field and scalar energy force fields, whether you realize it or not. Now consider this. A thought transcends time and space. It's non-physical reality. So that non-physical reality must be described by what? Scalar energy. As opposed to what a thought can do, create something, that's a physical reality. So we have the non-physical thought, which is scalar energy, and then we have the physical manifestation, which is the world right in front of us, that for the most part is guided by electromagnetic energy.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so before anyone thinks we've gone too far out here, I want to go ahead and link what you're talking about with some well-known science. Basically, what you're saying here is akin to quantum entanglement, which is not remotely woo-woo. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've handed out a Nobel Prize for that, right? So let's dive in a little deeper into the relationship between your work and quantum entanglement.
Yeah, so the point is, what is quantum entanglement? It's just what I described with my instrument. My photograph is me. I am my photograph. I can be in two places at once. This is what quantum entanglement has demonstrated. You could have two physical masses, but they still communicate instantaneously. Well, likewise, my photograph can communicate with my consciousness as a person because the two are not bound by time or space. So what many scientists are now believing and proving that quantum entanglement, in which two objects can communicate with one another at a distance, I can now prove through my instrument that I can communicate by way of my photograph, which is one physical object, and my being, which is another physical object, but more appropriately, it's the consciousness on the photograph, and it's my consciousness that are communicating. So I think we'll discover that quantum entanglement is only made possible by massless communication. Mm-hmm. You don't have electrons. If you have electrons, you go back to electricity, and you no longer have instantaneous communication.
And then you have the restriction of the speed of light.
Exactly. So if my theory is correct, there's consciousness, this signal on my photograph, and I have consciousness as the person. The non-physical consciousness matches or communicates with my non-physical consciousness, and you have an instantaneous communication. And you're right. You're not bound by the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Why? That's electricity. That's electromagnetic energy. We're working in the other paradigm in which you have instantaneous communication.
Yeah. So the rules of physics, if you will, in the two realms are completely different. And we don't really know what all the rules are in the other one. But that's part of what you're learning, of course, and what you're bringing awareness to. So that's wonderful. You talk about using scalar energy to balance the seven major chakras and the 12 meridian points. So could you just briefly explain to the listeners what those are and how you balance them?
Let's consider thought as being non-physical. It is. Well, a chakra then matches or will interface with thought. So a chakra has to be likewise non-physical. And this is what we now construe. This is what many people theorize, that chakras spin, scalar energy spins. Chakra is an intelligence, a consciousness, and it's non-physical. Well, that fits the definition of scalar energy. Now, to be clear, when people send me their photograph, many people say that their chakras are balanced. Now, can I prove that? Well, I only can prove that by the results that people have when they submit their photograph to me. But many people say that this instrument will make them calmer, will make them less inclined to overdrink alcohol or even take recreational drugs. That this chakra balancing, once again, it's so strong that it can illuminate a light bulb. Many people say they have a deep dream state because of the fact that their photograph is now connected to a consciousness instrument, and we can realign or reprogram those brainwaves or those seven chakras. Again, let me demonstrate really quickly. I'm holding a light bulb in my hand, and under the influence of scalar energy, it illuminates. Well, imagine that amount of energy going into your mind, into your chakras. That's what happens through your photograph. So it's a corrective action. It's a downloading of intelligence, and it's all non-physical, has no chemicals involved. It's pure, it's safe, most effective. So this gives great credence to many people who've always surmised that there were chakras. Those seven chakras were information points. They're non-physical, but they're filled with light. Do I think those people are correct? Yes. Those are seven spinning vortices of scalar energy.
Exactly. And we now have certain cameras, certain lenses we can use where you can actually see, you know, the placements of the chakras, whether they're lined up together, where they're kind of skewed, how dim or bright they are. So yeah, I don't think there's any question that we have chakras and they are energy and they do matter. But can you give us another example of data that you've received from people being healed in this way?
To be clear, when people come to me, many times they'll come to me, say, with a virus or they feel they have a viral infection. Now, once again, what I'm working with are photographs of people. I'm not working in the physical realm. I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to hold up two photographs to demonstrate how there's a sharing of information. I'm holding up a photograph of myself and the Epstein-Barr virus. Now, with the scalar energy instrument or consciousness, we simply share the intelligence between the two. Now, what does this mean? If I had Epstein-Barr in my force field or my consciousness, this photograph of Epstein-Barr would identify this signal of Epstein-Barr and destroy it. It's not a chemical process. It is informational. It is a non-physical, if you will, instruction to look for Epstein-Barr in my force field and to break down the energy code of Epstein-Barr. So by placing these two photographs side by side inside my instrument, once again, there's a download of consciousness that communicates Epstein-Barr into my force field. Now, after I work with this program, people tell me that they no longer have the Epstein-Barr virus. In their words, they're cured. In their words, they say, I don't have any symptoms of Epstein-Barr. They even had PCR tests that showed that they no longer have a viral load for Epstein-Barr. If all of that is true and accurate, then it begs a new definition of science, because I worked with a person by way of their photograph. I did not perform this as a biological function. So my comments and my exclusive work is in the information field. I never work with people. These instruments do not work with people. They only work with photographs of people.
And so the instrument is essentially correcting the data.
Yes. Thank you. Now, just like we do with a computer, if there's a computer error, you just reprogram your computer. If you have a problem with your cell phone, you just reprogram your cell phone. So if we have faulty information on our cell phone, we just reprogram it. Likewise with the quantum field. It's all information. Now, why is this so important? The hard way of going about anything is through the physical realm. It's laborious, and you only can travel at 186,000 miles per second, as you know, Melissa. If you work with consciousness, there's no barrier. Consciousness can walk right through the wall. It can pass through the galaxies in a flash.
Excellent. I just want to make this really, I want to keep finding ways to make this more and more clear as we're talking about it. And I want to talk a little bit about cell regeneration and anti-aging. What's your research on that?
Okay, anti-aging. Let me explain. Once again, I work with photographs because a photograph is a source of light. I'm going to hold up riboflavin. What does this mean? That's a magnified view of riboflavin. Now, once again, in practice, if I place my photograph side by side the riboflavin, there's a sharing of information. It's information. It's not a chemical process in which the energy of riboflavin downloads into me. That downloading of energy will give me health, quantum health. I receive my multivitamins from photographs of vitamins. I don't take a multivitamin. So every day I work through this process, and I receive energetically what I would consider the, if you will, the analog of food by way of energy. I download the energy of a multivitamin, and that will find its way into my quantum field and fortify me and give me the necessary nutrients that I need. Now, how do I know it works? Well, after I work with people, and many people around the world have told me that the vitamin program has provided the nutrition that they need, in their words, or that they're not so hungry. Some people start to miss a meal. The reason people can cut back on their eating and they can miss a meal is that they have achieved their nutritional needs through energy. So there's two ways of getting vitamins: consumption or by way of consciousness, by way of energy.
Mm-hmm. You have data on this. Are you publishing it?
Yes, it's on the website. Many people will offer their PCR test. Now, we're only as good as our testimonies right now because nobody's ever been able to duplicate my work. So the testimonies are the body of evidence. This is a PCR test of a woman who had herpes. After she submitted her photograph to me, she no longer has a viral load. Here's another PCR test for somebody who had herpes and Epstein-Barr. No viral load whatsoever. So the point being is this, that we are seeing great results amongst people. The people must tell the story.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit about in the beginning emotions, and basically that's energy in motion. You know, emotions, just like thoughts, are waveform. They're not matter. They are in that other energy realm that you speak of. Have you worked with anybody on emotional or mental issues?
Yeah, I work with everybody by way of a standardized technique because I don't consider myself to be a medical professional. My expertise is scalar energy. I allow the energy to correct what I would call a mental emotional imbalance or if you will, mental illness. Now, the key to my work, once again, is there's no human input. The energy, consciousness, is the animating force. I do not interpret medical conditions. I do not interpret emotional conditions. Mm-hmm. I simply turn this instrument on. The instrument interfaces with us by way of this, if you will, Christ-like energy, this zero-point energy. The energy is the corrective measure. The energy is always the animating force. Now, why do I repeat that? There's no human input. And if there's no human input, then there's no error for human reasoning or human conjecture.
Right. The only I guess caveat to that would be the person's belief system or the person's limitations where they limit themselves consciously.
Exactly.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about your equipment, how you fund your work, and what you're doing to get the word out.
These are custom-built instruments. I'm not in the position to manufacture them. I don't have the money, nor would I ever, because it takes a great responsibility to work with this energy, to control this energy. So what do I advocate? Education. I have to prove this to people. One of the ways I do so, I offer 15 days of free scalar energy sessions to anybody in the world. The key is education right now. Over the next 2 to 3 years, we have to educate people. We have to tell people what to expect. Where are we going with this energy? What's the merit? People want to see the benefits. Now, how do I do that? By gracious hostesses like you. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your podcast. Now, to be clear, I'll just leave it at this. Big business is not helping me.
No, nor will they ever. Yeah, it's hard to figure out ways to make money off free energy. But I do want to be really clear for the audience about the fact that the energy you work with is not woo-woo or hypothetical. It's based on information that's been passed down, informationally been passed down for millennia, and concrete science we've had for over a century. And our energetic nature is the most significant part of us, particularly when it comes to our physical and biological well-being. I feel like it's more significant than the matter that makes up our physical being.
Yes, it is.
I feel like the matter is kind of within that, but I can imagine the challenges here to promote that. So I do encourage everyone to do their own homework and their own research on it. And if I were to come to you, I get 2 free weeks of the energy healing, and I assume you document that before and after my personal experience with it, each person's personal experience with it.
The key is people do sign up for the 15-day free session. Now, we work with everybody simultaneously and in an identical fashion. We'll look for and eradicate microbes through the pathogenic cleanse. We'll balance the chakras. And as I mentioned, we'll perform the nutrient program on a daily basis. When I perform those 3 functions on a daily basis, invariably people say they feel something. They feel an improvement in their health. Mind you, they've never experienced anything like this before because it's a unique instrument. So this is cutting edge. This is the extent that I have to go to prove to the world that this works. It's going to take time, one person at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a staff that works with you with the photographs?
We have a small staff.
Yeah.
That's all we can afford. That's all we can do right now, a small staff.
Yeah. Well, how can people support your work? By trying it?
Yes, by trying it. And if it works for you, then tell other people. You know, once again, to go back, if you see on the website thousands of testimonies, and many of them are corroborated by scientific PCR tests that say, I no longer have a viral load for herpes and I feel great, or I feel much better. Well, you would think that would resonate with social media and would propel itself throughout the world. It has not done so. What am I saying? Social media is not necessarily my kindest friend. The people are my friend because people will tell other people. It's grassroots.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big media, once again, is not helping me. Big business is not helping me. People are helping me. Mm-hmm. A grassroots movement does help.
That's fantastic. All right, we're going to start wrapping up. And I would like to know any thought or advice that you'd like to leave with our listeners that relates to the concept of scalar energy and exploring consciousness.
Everybody's a scalar energy expert. Your mind and your heart are powered by scalar energy. Have you ever asked yourself, why do we think? How is it that I can be creative, compose a musical score, or think of some type of event in the future and then work towards that event? That's a scalar wave. Likewise, for your heartfelt emotions and love, mercy, and empathy. What is that? It has to be some type of intelligence. Emotion is intelligence. It's scalar intelligence. So God has given everybody a mind and a heart. Those are incredible, powerful scalar energy tools. The mind and the heart far exceed this instrument in capability. So what I am proving by way of a scientifically engineered instrument, you prove that every day with your mind and your heart. What's the point? Think well, feel well. That's the point.
That's fantastic. I'm so grateful to you for joining me today, Tom. Great information. I'm excited about getting it out there. And what's the best way for people to find you?
The website is scalarlight.com, scalar, scalarlight.com. Now, again, the key to my work is, since this is groundbreaking and nobody else has this type of approach, is I have to prove it to the world. So sign up for the 15-day free session. By the way, when you send in your photograph, include, with your family's permission, you can include their photograph and pets, and let's see if we can help them.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. My interview with Tom Palladino was, on the surface, about scalar energy. But if we look a little closer, it was about so much more. It was about paradigms, systems, programming, and who we really trust. Our paradigms are based on our thought patterns and what we accept as truth. What we accept as our truth informs the systems we create and the programming we allow. And all of it stems from who and what we trust and believe in. And that, I believe, was really the core takeaway here. So let's take a minute and get curious. Why is it so difficult for Tom to get the word out and be taken seriously about his work when it's based in hard science, medical test results, and experiential data? Why is it that proven technology that is at least a century old is ignored and relegated to a crackpot theory? If there is truth to Tom's claims about scalar energy, why doesn't everybody know about it? Why aren't we taught this in school? If the uses of quantum energy are legitimate, wouldn't it revolutionize the entire world? I mean, free energy, health, and healing without side effects and astronomical costs? It's got to be bogus, right? Or else we'd all know about it and be using it. Well, you tell me, because the answers to those questions are based entirely on your individual presuppositions. When we ask a question, we are typically only able to accept an answer within the boundaries of the premise upon which we're basing the question. Unless, of course, you are truly curious and able to accept or at least consider answers outside the boundaries of what you think you know to be true. That brings up another set of questions. Where is the information you believe to be true coming from? Where did you learn it? Who taught you? Who taught those who taught you? Do you blindly trust and accept that information? And if so, why? Do any of those people have a vested interest in what you believe? Are you invested in what you believe? Do you truly understand the gravity and consequences of what you believe? Are you far enough removed from the fear and attachments of your ego to look from a broader perspective and consider that what you think you know might not be the whole truth? Nikola Tesla's story is both inspiring and tragic. Like all greats in history, whether scientists, artists, musicians, philosophers, or any other creative genius, he tapped into the non-physical field of energy and information that Tom was speaking about throughout the episode, and he was able to bring those inspired ideas to fruition here in the realm of physical matter. Tapping into that energy source with our physical mind is called imagination, and every great philosopher, scientist, inventor, author, artist, and creator of any kind uses imagination to create. In Tesla's case, many of his inventions were brought to fruition in our 3D realm and are still used today. However, his dream of free energy to advance humanity was not one of those that made the cut. It was thwarted time and time again by the people and corporations who not only controlled all the investment money, but were also making a killing off building a structured material grid and metering its usage. They decided that since free energy cannot be metered or monopolized, it was not in their best interest to pursue. Never mind the best interests of humanity. Interestingly, these families and corporations are the very same ones still running our world today, and we trust them for everything we know, do, and believe about our world, our freedoms, our fears, our health, our options, our responsibilities, our future, and even our own worth. I don't mention this to be a downer. I mention it because many of us don't realize that these people and corporations control the media, television, movies, education, medical and scientific research, the pharmaceutical industry, politics, banking, the food industry, mass transit, social media, the stock market, and much more. And if we don't know that, we don't know what questions to ask ourselves about our own beliefs. I also don't mention this to demonize anyone or place blame. The blame is on us just as much as it's on them. We allow it. We blindly trust and believe people that we do not know and who do not have our best interests in mind. And then we emotionally attach to those beliefs to our own detriment, creating conflict, drama, and dissonance within our own minds, our own lives, and with each other. We put total faith in people we don't even know, who have betrayed our trust over and over again. We assume the validity of information we have not personally or intuitively verified. We use our emotions in ways that they are not meant to be used to keep ourselves in the dark. We allow programming that we did not create from our own inner wisdom to determine our beliefs. We train ourselves to ignore our intuition in favor of some expert or authority or collective belief, thinking, well, it must be true. They teach it in school, or it was on the news, or the doctors and scientists say it. It's not just lazy on our part, it's harmful, and we do it to ourselves. It is those who dare to be curious, like Tom, that we call the greats of humanity. Their belief in their own inspired ideas is based in trust and belief in themselves and their own intuition above all else, above so-called experts and authorities. They ignore collective programming, they ignore naysayers, they get up when they fall down, and they don't call it failure. They call it data, information they can use next time around. There are three things that I consider to be uniquely both human and divine. They are curiosity, imagination, and intuition. We must first be curious, feed and water that curiosity with our imagination, and then follow through using our intuition to guide us. When we follow that formula, I believe there is nothing, absolutely nothing, we can't do. Thank you for listening to Consciousness Explored. Consciousness Explored is part of the Miracy FM podcast network, which also includes such shows as Making It and Course Lab. A special thanks to our guest Tom Palladino for sharing his brilliant theories and inventions with us today. I encourage everyone to check out his website, scalarlight.com. That's S-C-A-L-A-R, light, L-I-G-H-T.com. What do you have to lose by being curious? Go check it out. If you'd like to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you. My contact information is in the show notes or just below on YouTube. Make sure you don't miss great episodes coming up on Consciousness Explored. You can follow us on Miracy FM's YouTube channel or your favorite podcast player. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a comment or a starred review. It really is the best way to help us get these ideas to more people. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.